Like last week, I mentioned some gematrias from the stipler. I want to mention some gematrias from the stipler again. I mentioned the Sefer Berachos Peretz in the back. He writes that he had this natural ability to just notice connections and gematrias. And his gematrias, the vast majority of them, are along the lines of the idea that Chazal say something about a pasuk, and he would find that phrase of Chazal, or a fairly similar phrase, which would bring the halacha of Chazal in the pasuk. So, for example, Chazal darshan that shetiyu amelin b'tara. So he says that the gematria of im b'chukosai telechu is im tiyu oiskim v'amelim b'tara. So Chazal darshan b'chukosai telechu means learning Torah, and he finds that phrase of oiskim v'amelim b'tara in the phrase itself. Now he does say an interesting point. He does do a little bit of a sleight of hand. So when you calculate gematrias, so Tav is 400. It's the last letter of the alphabet. But then after Tav, there are five Sophios, the five Kfulos that we have, the Sophis, the Chav Sophis. So in some versions of Gematria, we count them as the Chav Sophis is 500, the Mem Sophis is 600. So this calculation of Imachos HaTalecha works if you count the word im as 601. However, in his phrase, im tiyo oskim v'amelim b'tara, over there the mem is being used like a mem, regular mem, it's only 41. So that's a little bit of a kinesh that he has. V'hoyser Shabbos ha'orz l'chem l'achla. So Chazal darshan that the fruit of Shviyas is mutter to eat. It's also mutter to do with them any type of usage where the benefits and the consumption are simultaneous. So if I want to light, there are certain types of wood, etc., which you would was very fatty, and you'd be able to use it as light. So when you would light it, you would, as it's being destroyed, it's producing light. That's called hanosim b'urim shava. However, normally when you cook on coals, you don't cook on the high flame. You let it become coals, and then you cook on the heating coals. So that's called the hanosin of Yerim is not Shava. So the phrase v'hoyis haShabbos aortz lechem lachla is v'hu hanosim of Yerim shavin. So and that's the lashon of Chazal that it has to be the hanoah and the beer are shavim. They happen at the same time. So the phrase v'hoyis haShabbos aortz lechem lachla, v'hoyis haShabbos aortz lechem, is 1,000 and I did the math about, so it's 1214 I think, and Hanosim Biram Shabbat is 1214. Okay, so that's where the gematria is. Okay, the parasha, the beginning of the parasha, the Torah talks about the Isser of the Einos Mammon, and it talks about the idea that when you buy and you sell, so you should not do Einos Mammon. So there he brings Machlokes in the Mor, Tina Berachah and Rish Lakish, by Kinyanim, whether Kinyanim are Deraisa, in Deraisa you do a Kinyan, even Metaltlin is Bekesiv, and Mashiach and Hagbah is Drabanan, or vice versa. I mean, Deraisa, the kinyan of metaltlin is Mashiach and Hagbah, and Kesef is because you have to pay for it. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Midaraisa, the kinyan is B'Kesef. Rish Lakish holds Midaraisa, the kinyan is B'Mashiach and Hagbah. So he suggests that if we look back to Maase Bereishis, the Bereishis creates the world, and then commands Adam, and he says, if we keep Shua, take possession of the world. Be kovish it under your hands. You sort of like put your boot on top of it. Take control. That's possession. So Bereishis was the owner of the world, number one. Told Adam So he's saying do it. The way you're going to acquire it is by being kavish it. So you get the acquisition through kvisha, being kavish tachas yotcha. So Rish Lakish says that all subsequent acts of kinyan work the same way, that it becomes yours through being kavish tachas yotcha. So what's Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says that that's not, that now, even though Adam Rishon did it like that, that's when you take something from Hefker, that's how you're karnet it. But you take something from another person, Mashiach and Abor are not karnet. So even though the person told you to do it, and you did it based on his command, and you took possession through Mashiach and Hagbah, it's still not yours min ha'raisa. It only becomes yours min ha'raisa when you pay money. And you pay money, you don't need the Mashiach or the Hagbah. It says, once the Torah sanctioned the concept of kinyan, that when a person owns something, that's a halachic concept, that there's ownership, so Adam Rishon started with nothing, and then he had to acquire things. Okay, but now that he has something, the only way you can get rid of that ownership of the person is the person will be marked into somebody in exchange for receiving something. So you can't take it away from him. Possession is not how you get ownership in the Dinei Torah. Possession so by karka, everybody agrees that you have to use kesef or shtar or chazaka. Chazaka is not taking possession. Chazaka is on the lines of showing a symbolic act of that you are acting like the owner. But the Ikra Kinyan is with kesef. So reminds me of a so there it's clear you can't really take possession of karka. There's a famous maaseh with Rabbi Yisrael HaChanan that once two people came to him with a dispute over a piece of karka, who owns the karka? And so Rabbi Yisrael HaChanan said to them very cryptically, he said, you know, I want to hear what the land has to say. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael HaChanan was a gadol ador. He had no idea what he meant, but Rabbi Yisrael HaChanan said it, he said it. So they said, let's go out to the field. Rabbi Yisrael HaChanan goes out to the field, and he puts his head down next to the ground, and he listens. So the whole thing is bizarre. Like, the ground doesn't talk. And he sits there for a little while with his head cocked to the ground. Then he comes up with a smile on his face. So they said to him, like, what happened? He says, the earth said something. He says, what did the earth say? He said, the earth said like this. He says, Reuven says, the karka is mine. Shimon says, no, the karka is mine. And the earth says, no, both Reuven and Shimon are mine. That's where you're going to go after 120 years. So you're all mine. So once you, from that vantage point, understanding that we're not going to live forever, and eventually you're going to die, and you have to be honest, let's judge this court case. So the karka, but through owner, there is a concept of ownership, that somebody owns something. And the Torah respects ownership very significantly. For example, the Torah says, "Imach me'achuz asay." If a person is impoverished, "Imach umachar me'achuz asay." Ki yamuchachira umachar me'achuz asay. When a person becomes impoverished, he sells from his achuzah, from his inherited land. So Chazal darshan, you should not sell inherited land unless you are impoverished and you need it for food. You can't just sell it for the purpose of investments. I want to sell it the more, so you can't sell it and make money and go buy animals with it. You can't do that. This property is yours. It's supposed to be yours. The Rosh Hashanah has a reason why this property is yours. So the Torah respects Kinyanim, the concept of Kinyan, very much. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan says, and therefore you can't really transfer it unless the owner, in a certain sense, gives it away by receiving something in instead. So now he still has the item in a certain sense because he has the value of it. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan says a fascinating thing in the Parsha, a new thought. The Parsha says, Sheish shanim tizrasa decho, so Rashi says, if you look at Parshas Mishpatim, we seem to find a very similar construct. You find the Parshas Yisrael, Mishpatim, etc. The Torah talks about Shabbos. It says 6 days you work, and the seventh day you rest. Now, right? So over there we understand the contrast that the we're saying that you are supposed to work, you're allowed to work, etc. Like, there's the 7 days of the week, and we didn't understand what's the relationship of the 7 days of the week. Over here, I don't need Rishus to tell me that I'm supposed to plant the ground. Then we know that. Like, what's the message of that statement? So Rashi says a fascinating thing. He says, on Shvius, you're going to rely on Nisan. You're going to rely that you're going to eat a small amount and be satiated, or that the ground is going to grow enough to last for multiple years. And the Purna says that if you believe and don't ask any questions, so you'll grow even a small amount, but it'll be enough that you'll be satiated. If you ask, Kisamer Manocha B'Shana Shvius, if you're going to ask, it means you're not betuach that it's going to work out. Then Rashi says, I'll take care of you, but I'm going to do it with a lot of tircha. You're going to have to I'll send you 3 years worth of grain in 1 year. So that's a lot of work. So if you believe, you're going to get it easier. If you don't believe, you're going to get it harder. So, but the Mitzvah is allowing us to rely on Nes. So I want to rely on Nes in year number 3. No, you don't have a right to do that. When the Torah says, the Bereshit says that you need to be doing something else and relying on an ace, then you can rely on an ace. When the Torah says that you should, that the Torah did not give you the ace, then Chazal say, you know what, not allowed to rely on an ace. Also, at least Michal on an ace. So that's true in every single day, the Bereshit says. A person's day, he says, I can't daven because I have to take care of my pranos. The Rishon said you should daven, which means he's telling you that you'll accomplish what you need to accomplish while still davening. It means you're allowed to rely on an ace and not work on your panasa while you're davening. But you can't rely on an ace in the middle of the day and say, you know what, okay, I'm not going to do any work because I relied on my ace to daven chakras, so I can rely on my ace in the middle of the day. No, and you can't somehow on an ace. Torah says to learn something every day. I can't learn. I have to be busy making phone calls. I have to be busy making money. Not rely on an ace. It doesn't make sense. I can't make the money unless I... rely on an ace. Learn. Okay, shall I rely on an ace? Rely on an ace the rest of the day? That you can't do. So, Shei Shonim Tizra Sodecha, Shei Shonim Tizmur Kamecha, Vosaf Tos Tumoso, Vosaf Shana Shviz, Shabbat Shabbat, Shna Shabbat Yelo Horitz, and then you rely on an ace. Okay, the Chinuch says a beautiful piece talking about Shemitah. He gives us 4 Tamei HaMitzvahs for Shemitah. He says number 1 is that the fact that Shemitah is connected to the number 7 reminds us of the concept of Maaseh Bereishis, the Bereishis created the world. So 6 years you work, 7th you rest. It reminds us of the idea that Bereishis created the world in 6 days, and the 7th day he rested. So the Baruch Shalom created the world. So Shemitah is a reminder of Maaseh Bereishis. Shemitah, that the Baruch Shalom tells you that this year you're not going to work, but you still have what to eat. Another year, it reminds us that whenever you work hard and the Baruch Shalom produces, it's because the Baruch Shalom is giving. So he's the one who created the world. He's the one who's oversees the world as you're living with it year to year. Okay. The third reason he gives is because it develops an element of nedivus. You're sharing what you have with others. You're allowing everybody in the world to come and take it. You're not acting as a miserly person who's keeping it for yourself. You're sharing it with everybody else, with the animals. You're letting go of ownership. So it teaches you to be, that you should share. So that's the meat of the divas. And the fourth thing, it teaches you bitachon, that the Bereshit says it's going to be okay, and it's going to work out, and it works out. So it teaches you the meat of bitachon. So the 4 things that Shemitah teaches us is emunah maaseh bereishis, the emunah nashkachas Hashem, the nedivus in the person, the midas tovus of sharing with others, and the midah bitachon. And the truth is, you think about it, you can think about it a little bit, you see that those 4 ideas really have overlap. You know, nedivus is really rooted in the concept of bitachon. And the reason why you're comfortable to give away and to have bitachon is because you know the Bereshit is the mashgiach. And the reason why the Bereshit is the mashgiach is the Bereshit is the one who created the world. So you can draw this line back through them as well. Okay. Later on in Parshas Bahar, the Torah says in Isra B'Sabbat B'Avon HaSavet, that Ish Rachiv B'Sabbat B'Avon HaSavet. So Rashi says, what does it mean B'Avon HaSavet? So a Jew has a Jewish slave, as opposed to a Eved Kanani. So he cannot treat him like he treats Eved Kanani. He cannot make him do actions of an Eved. So actions of an Eved, Rashi says, that make him carry his things to the Beis Americhats. You're degrading him publicly by doing that. That you can't do. But it also means you can't tell him, just work this field right now, keep going. I'll tell you when to stop later on. So the person doesn't know any end time. It's just this pressure, which is just like it's an endless work. That's not acceptable. Or you say Hachamli Kaizu, and you have no need for it. You just want to show that you're the boss. That's about it's all. That's all. Comes around the yard and says, "Lachar, this mitzvah doesn't apply to us. We don't have every bismat as that." But that's not true. He says, any time a person of stature will take advantage of his stature to force service on those who do not wish to do it, he's over the sister of the rice of Lasaba Bavodasabit. So I'm a very, very chush of a person, and he asked me a favor. I really don't want to do it, but I don't feel comfortable saying no to this very chush of a person. So he's taking advantage of his stature to force me to do something I don't want to do. According to Ben Yerna, the person who asked, the one who requested the favor, is using his weight and his authority to force himself upon somebody else. He's over an issue the right of the Sabbath of it. You've enslaved that person to you. Now I'm assuming that if the one who asked the question, asked the favor, assume that the person would like to do it and be happy to do it and want to do it and be available to do it. It's not a pressure. If he believes that's true, even if it's mistakenly so, he's not doing it as part of the act of being oved by oved. So that's not an issur. Okay. In Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah goes through various different promises the Rosh was going to give about this wonderful schar we're going to get for keeping the mitzvahs. So the question which everybody asks is that these are all elements of reward in this world. And what happened to Olam Haba? Why are we mentioning reward in this world as opposed to talking about the reward in Olam Haba? So the question really has two parts to it. Why is there no mention of Olam Haba? And why would we believe that the payment is in Olam Hazeh? So the Kli Yakar, and there in Kapitel Chavov, Pasuk Yud Beis, brings seven explanations from the Rishonim to why this is true. The Rambam says this is not a reward at all. The Torah is not discussing reward. And the purpose of the Torah is not to give reward and punishment. The purpose of the Torah is to tell us what to do. Torah is Hara. So what is the Torah saying over here? That we need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are definitely things which are going to be distractions. Working in the field is a distraction from the Avodah. I could be doing much higher levels of Avodah at that point in time. So what the Torah is telling me is, if you're a good boy, if Klai Yisrael are good boys and girls, the Rosh Hashanah will take away the distractions and allow them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like as they truly desire. So the Havtacha is that they will be given all of these things. There's a tremendous abundance of food, etc. So they won't need to be worried about being busy with the fields. They'll be able to sit and learn Torah. So it's not a statement of reward at all. Rabbi Aaron Cutler quotes this idea of the Rambam, and he says it with a little bit of a different kinetic. He says he would say it along the lines of, it's not a reward. It's telling you that this is the natural state of the world. The natural state of the world had Adam not done an Aveira, is that the world is here to facilitate the person's Aveira. So that the world should be a distraction doesn't make any sense. The klala of that Mesech Sebechot HaKolechem was a klala after the Chet. If Klai Yisrael would go back to where they're supposed to be, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, so that klala will be ineffective, and the world will produce the way it's supposed to produce, to allow the person to be free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that basically it's teva. It's going to go back to its original natural state. Ibn Ezra says that the reason why it doesn't talk about Olam Haba, it talks about reward in this world, because that's something which everybody can understand. And the Torah obviously is talking to all of Klal Yisrael, and there's a people which are the deep philosophers. They can relate to the idea of Schar Olam Haba, and it can mean something to them. They can conjure it up in their mind, they can picture it, they can think about it, and it'll become a motivator, it'll become something which is real to them, and they'll feel very good about the fact they're getting reward on Olam Haba. The average person doesn't have that power to do that. So if we just could tell him you're going to get this great Olam Haba, it's not going to be, he doesn't feel he's got a message that he's getting rewarded. Right? But if he knows he's going to get something in this world, and he sees he's getting something in this world, he feels rewarded. So we need to, the Bereshim felt the need to create something which works for at all levels of Klal Yisrael. The Ibn Ezra quotes from the Chavos Levavos, Rabbeinu Bachya Hazaken is what the Kli Yark refers to him, as opposed to Rabbeinu Bachya, which is a Talmud of the Ramban. The Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Bakuta, who wrote the Chavos Levavos, was actually earlier than Rashi. So it's quite early. And he says along these lines, it says that a person's neshama, which is a spiritual thing, should go back to a spiritual world after a person dies, is logical. That's totally natural. That's teva. That the physical world, because of mitzvahs that I do, should reward me so abundantly and so richly. That's a nace. So the psukim have to tell us about the nisim, the part which is natural, the pasuk doesn't talk about. So Olam Haba is natural. Like, what else is supposed to happen to a neshama? Now, if you don't believe in neshama, we got a different problem. But if you believe in a neshama, and you know the neshama is Kaddish, so the natural reality is that the neshama is indestructible. The neshama is not from this world. This is all natural understanding. So there's no need to talk about that. The Torah talks about nisim, so that the rain should come at the right time always, and it should produce this tremendous amount, etc., etc. That's unique, and that's extraordinary. That's miraculous. That has to be said. The Ramban over here says basically the same thing. The Kuzari says that one of the issues which the Umas Arlam denied was the Bereshim's involvement in this world, that the Bereshim is aware, the Bereshim cares, the Bereshim is controlling. All of the elements of Hashkachas Hashem was one of the challenges that the Klal Yisrael grappled with. So the Bereshim says very clearly in the Torah, Hashkacha. So that we need feedback. The Bereshim is aware of what you're doing. How do I know? Well, the Klal Yisrael acted properly, and they had a tremendously abundant year. Klal Yisrael acted improperly, and it wasn't so. So there's feedback. So this is a promise of feedback, which will allow us to be ma'ames by ourselves. Lashkacha b'kadosh baruch hu. The Rav Sadia Gaon approaches it from a different angle. One of the main purposes of Avodah Zorah was that people would try to manipulate the Avodah Zorahs to get out of the world what they wanted, to get the produce that they needed, make sure that they had the water that they needed, and all those type of things. So the purpose of Avodah Zorah was to receive their needs. And they tried to do it in a way that they would get it abundantly. So Rashi says, the Rashi comes along and says, Avodah Zorah is Osir. So people said, well, so how are we going to get what we need? The Rashi says, don't worry. You determine says you'll get what you need. And that's the purpose of the Yudim, is not to promise a Schar Olam Haba, is to placate the people that they shouldn't be nervous and concerned that the Bereshim took away their vehicle to manipulate the world through this metaphysical manipulation called Avodah Zorah, which allows them to get out of the world what they want. Don't worry, Bereshim, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Okay? The Kuzari says a different point, and the Ran and Justice of Ran says this as well, that in the Psukim it says he's halachti b'sechachem, talks about Bereshim is going to put his Shekhinah, like Rashi brings from Chazal, here in this world. So then it's obvious that to anybody who's a bardas, that will continue after the person dies. If it's shaykh in the world, which is physical, then the person's presence could be in Klal Yisrael. So kal vachomer after the person dies. So basically, included in the promises of this world are the promises of the world to come as well. And the last point he brings, which is as Ramban in Parshas Ekev and as a Sefer Ikrim, that Olam Haba is a personal thing to each individual. These are promises to Klal Yisrael together. So the promise of Klal Yisrael together, so those are going to be while we're in this world. Klal Yisrael functions in Olam Haba, each individual person goes to his own individual reward. Okay. Rav Moshe says an interesting shot at the end of Parshas Behar. So then the Parshas Behar, we have a tzivi about Shabbos and about Mikdash. And Rashi says, so why is it here? Because it said before that the person, he was sold to a goy. It says, master is a goy. It says, don't think that just like my master is a goy and he doesn't want a Zorah. Say Evan Masi Lasita Baratzakhan. And don't make this Matseva and Evan, don't do that. Because that's what your owner, the master, the goy does. And my owner's Makalo Shabbos. So that's why it says it over here. So Rashi says it's a funny conversation. See, he wants to say Pshat. I'm not sure he means it Batar is Pshat or Batar is maybe Trush. That the Goyim's attitude towards religion belongs in the temple. So when they're in their temple or in their church, they're very religious. They go home and do whatever they want. Right? So eventually they develop a reverence to the temple because that's like the holy place as opposed to everywhere else, which is not holy. That's not how a person serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. So a person shouldn't come along and say that the same way my master, the owner, the goy, serves his Avodah Zorah by the reverence of the when he goes to church or to temple, I'll do that as well. So then you're creating a situation of having a mara of the mikdash, which is not based in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's based the mikdash itself becomes. The Avodah Zorah, it becomes the replacement. So the lashon of the psukim is, don't make yourself this elilim and pesel and matseva. Don't make these places of worship that's where it is. Keni Hashem Elokeich, I'm with you all the time. So Chazal darshan yachal that you should have more from the mikdash. Tamalim Ani Hashem. The Mar is not from the Mikdash. The Mar says the Mar is from me. But we need to write it here at the end of the Parsha because the person would tend to learn that from the environs that he's found in when he's living with this non-Jew because he had been sold to him. One last thought I wanted to... I was thinking of this in my own thought. So far I've been quoting others. The Torah writes the Isser of a Noas Mammon. And then shortly after, the Torah writes Yisrael v'Noah's Devorim together. Now, at first glance, they share the word Noah, and that's it. But the idea of Noah's Devorim, of hurting people with words, irritating them, bothering them, teasing them, whatever it would be, it has nothing at all, it's a Medon L'Chaberu concept, it has nothing to do with the Yisrael of Noah's moment. Which is more of in the beginning of Ezel Neshach, the Mora says, I know it's a form of Gezel. So it's the moment is of don't steal. You have the right to get more than a certain amount of money for this item. You have a chiyuv to pay the full value for the item. So there's Shaykh or Noah both from the side of the Lekech or the Merker. It's no Shaykhs at all. But if we say, like we were saying before, that the definition of the person, that property, the Torah respects property in a very significant way, and whatever the property the person has becomes, in a certain sense, bound to him, and he should not divest himself of it unless for a good reason, etc. And he can't just divest himself by letting someone else take it. He has to actively receive something in exchange. So the root of the world of a Noah's moment and is that you're not respecting the person's property. You're not respecting the person. Because respecting his property is a way to respect the individual. So, Im Kain, the world of Anos Momen and Anos Devorim are not that far from each other. That's why the Torah uses the same type of language. You're afflicting him. The same way we translate Losanish as the language of Losanish, but of the affliction of Anos Devorim, the root of the problem is you're hurting him. So the root of the problem by Anos Momen is that you are hurting him. Taking his money inappropriately is not just the problem of, well, I'm stealing money. It's you're taking something which a person has connected to, and he's willing to sell, but he's willing to sell only because he receives a certain amount of tamura for it, or vice versa. He's willing to buy because he received something of value for it. So you're taking part of what he of his possessions, and you're cutting away part of his possessions. And that's why the Torah uses a similar language for both of them. Okay, thank you for joining.